Hello?
Hi, is Sam there, please?
This is Sam. How you doing? Layla?
Yes, how are you?
I'm ecstatic. I'm feeling great. You know what? You on air right now. I got to introduce you right. You are the three-time Grammy Award-winning Miss Layla Hathaway. That's how we do it.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for calling into the podcast. As you can tell, myself, we are big fans here at Sam Show Nation of all your work. I'm freaking out right now, but I'm trying to keep it professional since we live. But this is awesome.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
And you are no stranger to the D. You're gonna be here in Detroit very soon at Shane Park, the 24th. You're promoting the live album, Live and in Tour, and after listening to this album, honestly, it's the closest thing, as a guy who's seen you live many times, it's the closest thing to having you live without actually being there. You could virtually smell the popcorn, so.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. That was the whole intent, was to be able to present something that everybody might not have the opportunity to see.
Oh, but I mean, even the latest cut, Mirror, that we played at the top of the podcast. I like how you said not the opportunity to, because you don't have a lot of live records these days. It's just usually.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You
when
missed
I was growing
that.
Up, there were a lot of live records. There were a lot of bands and people that went on the road, and after a few months of touring, would make a record that reflected what they had been doing on the road. And so that was definitely the way that a lot of bands did it in the past.
I know, and you struck that chord, and it takes you back to, like, honestly, made me want to see you live again after hearing that.
Wonderful. Good. Come on through.
I will be there. Like, you could probably hear the smile on my face right now. But, like, even with Mirror, we touched on, but, like, the cut, Angel, the cover that you did from Anita Baker, that you just channeled the soul of that woman. Did she ever hear it or tell you about it?
She did. I actually, you know, she heard it before anyone heard it, and it was important for me that she sanctioned it and gave me a blessing on it, because really when I try to recreate something like that, it can only be done if someone gives you the idea. So if there's no Anita, you know, in a way there's no me. So I wanted her to hear it first, and she said she liked it, so we could go forward with it.
Okay. At least you got the okay, the blessing, the go ahead, because Angel's one of those songs, you better not mess that up.
That's right. And I have covered a few of those that, you know, are pretty. I don't think that maybe 20 or 25 years ago I might have tried to, but really my intent is to always recreate the feeling that I had listening to those songs. So they're kind of like love letters to those people that created those feelings in the first place.
Word, I hear that. And one of the first single, I think, on the album was Little Ghetto Boy, which that was more of a tribute to your dad, the late, great Donny Hathaway.
Right. Well, we did a dual single. So the first single was actually Angel, and then we put Little Ghetto Boy with it. And then we actually did a remix for Little Ghetto Boy, which was just called Ghetto Boy with Snoop Dogg.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the first two singles were covers.
I mean, even with that, I mean, it was a great song, but now it's like more socially relevant due to what's happening in the news and what we're seeing here. And I think you struck a chord with a lot of people, myself included, with that.
I hope so. I mean, it's one of those songs that was so relevant in its time and relevant now and will still be relevant and poignant in 100 years, perhaps, in this country.
I mean, technically, if you think about it, social relevance aside, the whole live album is kind of a tribute, right? I think, didn't you record that the same place your dad did?
I did, at the Troubadour in L.A., where he recorded part of his live album. And it really started with a conversation with me and a friend of mine named Donald Warren. He said, you know, you should make a best of album, a record, you know, that has a whole bunch of songs from your whole career. Because this year sort of marked my 25th anniversary in this business.
Mm-hmm.
And as I started putting it together and realizing, oh, maybe I should make it live, then I realized I had to do it at Troubadour. So it all just sort of came. came together for me like that.
Hey, it works. It really does, because I technically, you have done some, you know, the best of there, but that extra sauce of having it live, that extra feeling, made it that much more important.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I'm going to pat myself on the back with this one. I finally get a chance to tell you this, even though I know you're very active on social media, and I sent you the link. But a few months ago, we had Will Downing here on the podcast.
Okay.
And he made it. He said, whatever strength I got in this internet, whatever strength I got, make sure you, Layla Hathaway, you hear it. He said, if he ever wanted to work with another artist, ever, it's you. And I just said, well, Will, I'll do what I can. And lo and behold, y'all have a few shows on tour.
And we've been on tour for years and years and years. Will is pulling your leg. I see him at least two or three times a year, and we do shows together and hang out and laugh and eat food together. So he's definitely a dear friend of mine from way back.
Oh, yeah. And, like, I'm just listening to this album as well as some of your other works, and it's pretty obvious you pull your music, you know, your musical taste from different sources, a lot of new age sources, a lot of places, whatever musical influences, and you can see that in your work. One thing I want to know, you got any guilty pleasure songs, you know, that karaoke special, the ones that don't leave the car?
You know, I mean, clearly I'm addicted to the Panda song. Everybody knows that. You know, every now and again, these records come up, and now that I'm DJing, I DJ as well.
Mm-hmm.
I find records that I wouldn't necessarily listen to when I need a music fix, but when I need some other kind of fix, I will definitely go to those records. A record like Panda, you know, that has that low end or that has that hook that's so infectious. So I have a lot of I wouldn't call that guilty pleasure, because you shouldn't feel guilty about anything that you like.
Okay.
But I would definitely call them, you know, records that are more party mode records or fun mode records, you know.
Yeah. Also saw where you did the duet with Kim Burrell at Essence Fest. That looked awesome, but you seem like super surprised she called you up. That was a genuine thing?
I was actually way back in the room, and I didn't even know that she knew I was in the room, so I was super, super, super surprised.
Like, does that happen a lot? Do you still have that fan freak out moment that I'm having right now talking to you? Like,
I do. I definitely do. I'm a music lover just like you are a music lover. So when I meet the people that are part of the fabric of my day, I'm definitely excited. You know, I got to work with Pharrell a couple months ago, and I definitely, you know, it was super low key, and I was cool with it, but I was definitely geeked.
Oh, I'm geeked now, but what you're seeing now is my professional voice. But the second you hang up that phone, I'm going to, like, walk to the car or do a victory lap or something, because this is crazy.
I appreciate it.
One other thing that I want to ask, mainly you touched on it with the DJ thing. How's that coming? I was seeing
it's coming very well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really love doing it. It's a totally different way of listening to music for me,
mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of fun. I'm still very nervous when I do it. I still travel with my actual DJ as my training wheels, because I have so much respect for the art. I never wanted to appear as though I think I've just stepped into those shoes and now I know how to do that. So I'm actually a student DJ.
Okay.
Who has, right now, it's a hobby for me, and it's something that I have aspirations to become great at.
Okay.
So yeah, it's my new passion.
Okay. I can't wait to hear the Layla Hathaway DJ cuts, probably in the near future.
Absolutely.
But one thing you said, hobby, and I got to touch on this, because this is like the only thing me and you have in common. We're both gamers.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I've heard in a lot of interviews that you're a big-time gamer. You're very partial to Halo. I'm not challenging you. I'm not. I want to make that plain.
You know what? I like Halo, but really, my thing thing is sort of the more Japanese RPG games, like Final Fantasy 15 is coming out.
Are you hype about that too?
I'm super hype about it. I watched the whole press conference about it. I'm one of those people that owns the soundtrack to the game and has the figurines, and my friend Russell Taylor gave me this beautiful book with all the artwork from the games, and I've been playing those since the 80s when they
were.
So I'm very excited about Final Fantasy.
Ms. Hathaway, you have just became 2 degrees more cooler because you threw out that Final Fantasy, especially. I'm so hyped about 15. You got Aaron Paul doing voices. Florence from Florence and the Machine doing the thing.
I really can't wait. And honestly, I've been waiting for so long for the last update, and then they did that online game, which I hated. And so, you know, I definitely, sometimes when I'm buying games anymore, I feel kind of disenfranchised because everything is like a shooter or a zombie game, and
yeah.
I'm kind of tired of them.
Well,
so I miss all the good games.
It's hot right now for shooters, but like I'm starting to get tired of them myself. I can only have so many Call of Duties. I can only have so many Halo. But so a good Final Fantasy is going to clean the slate, especially this one with the movie. If you bought the deluxe one, that's what I got reserved at GameStop. That's what.
Yeah, me too.
With
me
the anime and the CG movie.
It's going to be really awesome, and I'm going to be in my house for approximately, you know, 2 weeks without the phone on.
Okay.
And, you know.
I didn't think I was going to go down this road, but I have a follow-up question to that. Your tour ends around the time of Final Fantasy drops.
Yeah.
Was that done by mistake or just a happy
clearly, I just saw the release date on it yesterday. So, you know, it's gonna arrive at my house, and it's gonna sit here until I get off tour, and I'm gonna come home, and I'm gonna get back involved.
Okay, so it was just a happy accident.
Absolutely.
Okay. Speaking of the tour, like I said, you're coming to Shane Park. You got much love in the D. You're going to see a hyperactive me somewhere in the crowd. You got any fond memories of Detroit or just coming and performing here?
Oh, yeah. Detroit is, you know, one of the great cities. I'm from the Midwest, so I have a lot of,
lot of
love.
Chicago, you can say it.
Absolutely. From Chicago, and Shane Park is one of those places I've played many, many times. I have fought off many, many mosquitoes at Shane Park.
Yes, you have.
And we look forward to getting back there.
Okay, so, yeah, like that. I remember one time you were at the Fox, which seemed kind of odd. It was a while ago. I want to say...
Probably the 90s, probably with Gerald Albright or Joe Sample.
No, it was a little later than that. I think it was around 2004. And what you don't know, the conversation with me and my co-host we were having, I went to that concert, and you did For Forever, For Always, For Love, which is one of my top favorite songs, easily top 5 of yours. And, like, you were getting off the stage, and you start blowing kisses and saying bye and all that other good stuff. And I don't know if you remember this. I'm not forcing you to remember this. But there was a little impish, hype, super hype man for an inappropriate song to be hype on. And you blew that impish-like man a kiss. And he was patting himself on the back, and he was quiet for the rest of the show. Do you remember that?
No.
Okay, good.
No, not at all.
Okay. Well, but...
Not even a little.
Okay. I'm just saying that impish man was me. And I was...
Not
yeah, yeah. I'm just patting myself on the back like, yeah, you know she did that to me, right? You know, and no one believed my story, which they shouldn't have. But
hilarious.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I know you got to get out of here. I'm very thankful that you called into the podcast. I got one more question. Well, technically it's a two-parter. You said it. You've been doing this for 25 years, which don't seem like 25 years. You look 25, if you ask me. But is there anything else? I know you talked about DJ. I know you talked about work. Is there anything else that you would like to accomplish? Somebody you want to work with?
Oh, sure.
Anything
off
the top of the head?
You know, my friend Terry Lynn Carrington told me when my Twitter, and she said, music is just a drop in the ocean. And I was so offended because it was my entire life. But as I grow, I realize there's so many other things that I'd like to try and do, which I generally don't because I'm so in music. I'm going to try to make, you know, this latter half of 2016 into 2017 a time to find things that I also like doing. I'm really into comedy, really into acting. I'm DJing, like I told you. I would like to do some voiceover work. There's a lot of things I'm really interested in trying to do, and I'm really looking forward to getting into the next record, whatever that's going to be.
I'm down with that. Like you said, voiceover work. You end up in Final Fantasy. I'm picking your character.
Listen, that would be a dream come true.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Put it out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey,
absolutely.
Square Enix, if you're listening, Layla Hathaway would like the voice, any character.
I should just tweet them today and just see what happens.
I'll retweet it.
I'm going to do it.
All right, go ahead. And lastly, you've been here for quite some time. Last question. Do you have any advice for any of the newcomers? There's a lot of people listening probably want to know what it is to be in the business. Any advice you could give to up-and-comers?
No, the interesting thing is that this business changes so much. When people ask me about business advice, I always say, really, if you have business advice, why don't you give it to them? My advice is more about how to be a good musician and how to remain a student of music, because that's the thing that's really going to feed you and your passion. You have to just make sure that music is your passion, because the business part of it changes so much and evolves. No one can really give you sound business advice because it changes. Every day it's changing. And everyone's path is different. So what works for me may not work for everybody. You know, in the 80s, you could give someone a cassette and they would sign you to a 6-album. I mean, there's just things unheard of anymore. So now you live in a world where you can create a record on a phone and put it on iTunes in a day. It's a whole different world. So my suggestion is to make sure that it's your passion and that you want to do it, whether you make money or not, and follow that path.
I get that. And this is coming from a woman who's calling into a podcast. So, yeah, you got a point right there. 10 years ago, this didn't exist.
Yeah, exactly. You know, everything is changing. Everything is evolving.
Oh, well, Ms. Hathaway, thank you so much for just calling into the podcast. I can't wait to see you at Shane Park. Please don't have security kick me out. I'm just excited. You'll see me just amped, which really weird. Fair warning.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. And just good luck and congratulations on and much success in the future.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Layla, for calling in.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.